Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting. Good morning. It's hard to believe, but it is New Year's Eve, the 31st of December. It is the last day of 2018. I don't know where the time goes. It feels like the older that I get, the faster the time goes. Maybe it's just having more time under our belts is the reason why that happens. But we will continue to do the show here, regardless of the day and how fast the time goes on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, joined in studio with Rachel Sutton. And we have some special New Year's Eve programming to bring to you this morning. And Rachel, I know when we think about our guests in this past year, I know we're not supposed to have favorite guests, but if I did, hypothetically, have a favorite guest, Dr. David Aikman would certainly be near the top of the list. He joins us every Monday from Ireland, and he's got all of this experience in news, covering the news for Time Magazine for 20-some years. He's got GodspeedMag.com. That's his new website and news. He just brings this perspective that I know when I hear from our listeners, too, they can't wait to hear more from Dr. Aikman.
Yeah, just a great guy, great person. And, you know, the accent is just one of my favorites.
There's something about that accent that brings immediate credibility, right? When I'm listening
Absolutely.
To my rant voice, when you bring that Irish, British accent into it, it's like whatever he says, I just know is true.
Yep. Yeah, really. It does. It adds a lot.
It does. Well, we're going to have Dr. Aikman. We've did some taped interviews with him looking back at 2018 to some of the most significant events that happened in this past year. We're going to have an entire hour that we taped with Dr. Aikman in which we cover so many of the different dimensions out of the Middle East. We're going to talk Brexit and immigration crises and any number of topics that seem to come up every Monday. And Rachel, for you, as you listen to Dr. Aikman week in and week out, was there one topic that you really enjoyed that he covered more maybe than any other?
You know, I can't say if there was like a specific one, but I do really appreciate it because I'm just coming out of college. So I graduated this last May.
Yeah.
And I feel like the news cycle is something that I just can't break into because it's going so fast and it's been going forever. And so I really appreciate hearing Dr. Aikman really unfold some of what all these things mean and the history behind it, because I need that for context.
Yeah, so, and I think one of the things that the internet has done is it's flattened so many voices, and it's hard to figure out who to attend to that has some credibility and authority. Just because somebody has gone viral on YouTube or is commenting on some kind of topic doesn't mean there's a credibility and authority. But with Dr. Aikman, there's no question, just given his background and his ability to navigate the news, that you hear that from him.
Right, yeah. It's not just the accent. He actually is incredibly credible. He is so wise and just has a lot of experience. So that's great.
Well, it's going to be a great first hour ahead here on Faith Radio Mornings for New Year's Eve, just having Dr. Aikman for the entire hour. And again, we taped these different segments about a week ago or so as we looked back in 2018 to some of the events that really mattered to us, yes, as believers, but just simply as humans and people walking out life in this world. And as Rachel said so well, Dr. Aikman just brings such a credibility and authority that helps anchor us and give us a little sense of peace relative to so many of these troubling news events. Faith Radio Mornings on this New Year's Eve special broadcast, and we're reviewing so many of the events of 2018 from a variety of perspectives. And of course, one of our favorite guests that we have on every Monday on Faith Radio Mornings, Dr. David Aikman, who has been a journalist for many years covering a lot of the different news stories from around our world, who joins us on Mondays to talk about these things. We thought it'd be great to have him come on for an entire hour and review these major news stories that we've spent so much time with in this last year. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Very nice to be on the program.
Well, we'd love to have you, and certainly one of the main topics from this last year that we can deal with in this opening segment has to do with the rise of nationalism in 2018. I think it's been a pendulum response away from what has been maybe 20, 30, even 40 years of more of a globalist kind of trend. We're seeing countries begin to try to assert their sovereign rights again in a variety of ways. And, of course, no way maybe more so than closer to your home in Ireland, and that being in Brexit, where we've seen so much happen and take shape as Britain has decided to leave the European Union.
That's right, yes.
And in terms of what we see over there, it's a little bit of a jankety process at this point in time. I mean, I know we're airing this on New Year's Eve, taping it just the week before or so, but certainly there's a lot of uncertainty about Britain leaving the Union, and a lot of that has to do with whether there's going to be a hard border in Ireland and what that means for immigration and trade. So kind of walk us through where we are in this process and what we've seen this last year.
Okay, well, basically, Theresa May just came back from a meeting in Brussels with Donald Tusk and Juncker of the European Commission. And she was hoping to get the EU to come up with a statement about the agreement which she had provisionally signed with them that would enable it to pass muster in the House of Commons, because a majority of her own party MPs rejected this thing, and so she withdrew it from actually having a vote. And then she faced a fairly serious leadership challenge from people within her own party. And although she won that particular challenge, she's in a very weak position because part of her parliamentary support, namely the Democratic Union Party in Northern Ireland, props up the government and prevents it falling as a whole. And they are adamant that they will not support the agreement that she signed with the EU. So it's the whole thing is really up in the air, and nobody has a clue what's going to happen next.
Well, and certainly we see some hard deadlines coming up in March of 2019 that I'm sure you and I will discuss at that time. But looking backwards again, so much of this had to do with kind of this global dislocation, this global movement that we've seen all around our world. And places even like France and in Italy really are trying to deal with the immigration and I would say even the crisis of people that are flooding across various borders. And that really has been one of the key themes in terms of countries beginning to assert their sovereignty again.
That's absolutely true. I mean, the groundswell of nationalism in the EU countries has arisen because the citizens of those countries objected to the effect of the EU leadership imposing on European countries as a whole demands for acceptance of unlimited, almost unlimited migration from the Middle East and elsewhere. And the citizens of these countries said, why do we have to have our culture and society diluted by the influx of people who don't want to integrate with us and who are actually a threat to our own life and liberty? So, EU, please back off and let us determine our own policies about migration.
Well, and David, as you watched these events begin to unfold, and then I think back to the 2016 election cycle in the United States, where obviously so much of President Trump's platform was exactly this in terms of the sovereignty and make America great again. Was this did this fuel or the rise of what's we're seeing in Europe and places like Brexit and France or places like Britain with Brexit and in France and in Italy? Or were these things all happening and independent of Donald Trump? And was his rise sort of help fuel what was already going on? Or did this really come as, wow, they're doing that in America. We should do that here as well.
No, I think the reaction to the migration, which fueled all these nationalist upsurges, including the upsurge which prompted the British voters in 2016 to vote to leave the EU. I think that was happening spontaneously. But the election of Donald Trump certainly gave a momentum to this movement, and his standing up before the UN and saying that countries should put themselves first, just as he put America first in his election campaign, was a very sound principle for how the world should be governed.
It's New Year's Eve, and we're chatting with Dr. David Aikman this morning about some of the events of this past year, doing a year-end review show on some of the headlines from around our world. And David, I know that some of these nationalistic tendencies, some of them are really criticized by certain parties and certain platforms as well. But in terms of the sovereignty of a country, from a world history perspective, it's historically been pretty important for countries to maintain a sovereignty as opposed to having them ruled by maybe a bunch of bureaucrats in a centralized part of the world.
Well, that's certainly true. I mean, if you look at the history of Europe in the 20th century, it was basically the story of the breakup of large multinational empires. The Italian Empire, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and indeed the Russian Empire, and the recovery, at least for a period of time, of sovereignty by the countries that had been ruled by these empires. And after World War II, it seemed for a while that the blight of internecine strife in Europe that had basically fueled the emergence of two world wars in Europe would be improved by the build-up of an international or multinational confederation of European states, owing allegiance not to their own governments primarily, but as countries to a European Commission which would govern them. And the breakup of the EU, which, you know, some people say is already underway, is a response of nationalistic sentiment from the citizens of many different countries who feel Brussels as a governing institution, the bureaucracy, doesn't know our situation and is making decisions for our governance which are completely inappropriate. So we have to stand up and protest.
And Dave, we have about a minute left in this segment about nationalism and reviewing that and thinking about the criticism leveled against nationalistic kinds of tendencies. Is it possible for a country to have its sovereignty but still have strong military alliances like a NATO, strong free trade alliances, strong immigration policies? We're not talking about doing away with those things. We're just talking about putting some barriers between countries again as we think about sovereignty.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, the countries of Western Europe have done very well standing up for themselves under the protective arm of NATO. But now that the countries of Western Europe don't seem to be so keen on partnering with NATO in terms of military preparedness with their budget, the United States has said to Europeans, if you're not willing to pay for your participation in NATO, we're not as interested in supporting as we formerly were.
And that's the voice of Dr. David Aikman joining us here today on our New Year's Eve broadcast, reviewing some of the events from 2018. And David is the editor of Godspeed Magazine. It's a great source to go to for news from a Christian perspective. You can go to godspeedmag.com to check out all of what's there. And, of course, David wrote for Time Magazine for a number of years as well. When we come back from break, let's change the conversation over to the rise of China, the continued rise of China, we should say, and their impact on the world scene as we talk about the treatment of the church in China, as well as tariffs and the trade war and many other topics in the headlines from this past year that had to do with China. So more to come with Dr. David Aikman on this New Year's Eve broadcast for Faith Radio Mornings. Part of our New Year's Eve broadcast, Year in Review, we've asked Dr. David Aikman to join us and talk about some of the events from a global perspective that we've covered week in and week out together. And, of course, David, China seems to always be in the news in one way, shape, or form each week. And one of the things you and I have talked about quite a bit in this past year is the way the church is being treated in China, some of the differences we see there, and some of what seems to be some increasing crackdown of the church as the Chinese government looks to assert itself. So remind our listeners what we've seen kind of in this past year.
Well, for the last 5 years, since Xi Jinping took over as party secretary in 2013, China has been under an increasing repression of its all religious group activities, but especially Christianity, with the blowing up of churches and closing down of mosques and so forth. And then more recently, the internment in labor camps in Xinjiang in West China of hundreds of thousands of Chinese Muslims of Turkic background. And so the decision to crack down on the church seems to come from two sources. One is a fear that the church is such a robust institution in China and is growing so fast that it is potentially a threat to the control of society by the Communist Party. The other seems to be a sort of personal ideological commitment against the Christian faith by the convinced Marxist, Leninist, Maoist, who is Xi Jinping. We often think that because China has grown prosperous, it's therefore ceased to be communist, but that couldn't be further from the truth. The Chinese Communist Party is firmly in control of its society and determined to squeeze out anything from that society which denies the validity of the Communist Party's claim to truth.
And so in terms of the communist sort of crackdown and the ability to control things, I mean, this is part and parcel to the way China works. I think maybe sometimes we in the West, because we do a lot of trading with China, we maybe assume that it's a pretty open society over there. But, David, I read headlines each week about how the Internet is very much filtered and the flow of information very much controlled. And organizations and companies like Google and Apple, they really struggle to do business because there really is not a free flow of information over there.
Yeah, not only is there not a free flow of information, but there is the complete repression of access by ordinary Chinese to information sources that differ from that of their own central party and government. And people who live in China refer to it as the Great Chinese Firewall, the suppression of websites that are accessible to everybody else in the world, but who are excluded from viewing by Chinese people or people in China working from their computers. So you've got that kind of suppression, plus you have the systematic stealing of proprietary technical information from manufacturing companies that want to do business in China and establish factories and so forth. The Chinese make it almost impossible for them to maintain their proprietary technological processes and are stealing from foreign companies, especially American, left, right, and center.
Well, and certainly that was one of the key themes in 2018 between United States and China was President Trump in dealing with some of the trade imbalances between the two countries and what you just referenced, the intellectual theft that consistently goes on in China. This is a pretty big change that we saw in 2018 relative to free trade. We haven't seen these kinds of tariffs levied before. What kind of impact has that had on the relationship between the United States and China in 2018 and maybe even moving forward into 2019?
Well, it has seriously chilled the temperature of the relationship between the two countries, and it has almost come to a crisis in the recent arrest in Canada of a Chinese national, the daughter of a major telecommunications company called Huawei, because she was suspected of washing or concealing the fact that this company was providing information technology to the Islamic Republic of Iran. So she was promptly arrested in Canada, threatened with extradition to the United States, whereupon the Chinese government promptly arrested two Canadians in China, and sort of said that if she weren't released, it wouldn't be very good for them. So it's a tit-for-tat which has spread beyond China-U.S. relations to China-Canadian relations, and I suspect subsequently China-European.
Well, certainly it's interesting to watch. China's always in the news. We're talking with Dr. David Aikman this morning as part of our year-end review show, and specifically focusing this segment on the headlines generated out of China this past year. David, we have a couple minutes left in this segment, and you know, the United States is not the only country that China deals with week in, week out, year in and year out. What are we seeing in terms of China making some alliances with other countries in the world from this past year, maybe even as a way from their perspective of dealing with the power and the threat of the United States?
Well, I think one thing we've seen is the expansion of China's investment in and to some degree control over countries in the third world whose regimes are willing to borrow money from China for investment infrastructure projects, but which also fall in debt to the Chinese, and because of subsequent threats to their own security from opposition within them, they call upon the Chinese government to beef up their security services. So you could say the Chinese have played the role in several parts of the world, from Venezuela to Argentina to Mogadishu in East Africa to Iraq and Iran, has played the role in basically being the sort of gendarme of parts of the world that don't want to cooperate with the international community, as most other countries want to, and prefer a sort of very draconian and actually repressive regime to run them rather than a more open democratic governance.
Well, there certainly was a lot to get to relative to China this past year, and I'm sure as you and I interact in 2019, we'll consistently continue to talk about issues coming out of China. Dave, when we come back from break, let's change the topic to a new segment, year-end review part, and getting into the Middle East. And, of course, one of the main developments coming out of the Middle East over the past couple of months has been the murder of the journalist Jamal Khashoggi. And, boy, there seems to be a pretty significant impact from that. So much more to come as part of our year-end review show on this New Year's Eve on Faith Radio Morning. Well, half an hour in the books with Dr. David Aikman, and boy, that time goes fast when we're hearing him talk about so many of these subjects. But we've got another half an hour to go here in the second half of this first hour of our New Year's Eve broadcast on Faith Radio Mornings. And Dr. Aikman and I, as we taped some of these interviews about a week ago, we ended up talking quite a bit about the ongoing secularization of our country, of our world, and some of the topics having to do with abortion and pro-life and marriage and all of this. So lots more to come with Dr. David Aikman next in this first hour of New Year's Eve on Faith Radio Mornings. Broadcast. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, joined in the line by Dr. David Aikman, and the two of us have talked about so many headlines from around our world this past year. We thought it'd be great to have Dr. Aikman join us for this year-end review show and just cover some of those things that were always top of the mind in this past year. And David, of course, we've talked a bit about China and the rise of nationalism, but we would be remiss if we didn't take some time and spend some time on issues coming out of the Middle East. And one of the most top-of-the-mind things for me, at least, and I think for many of our listeners this past year, was the brutal murder of Jamal Khashoggi. All signs point to the Saudi crown prince as having been part in this, possibly even ordered the killing as well. Just remind our listeners of not just what happened, but the significance of what happened relative to Saudi-U.S. relations.
The whole point is that Khashoggi was a Saudi journalist who was working in the United States had established a Saudi TV station, which was very critical of the Saudi regime, and had constantly clamored for more democratic rule in Saudi Arabia. And he was getting engaged to a Turkish lady, and he needed to travel to the Saudi consulate in Turkey, in Istanbul, in order to acquire the necessary paperwork. Well, he'd been assured by none other than the actual brother of the Crown Prince Salman that he would be quite safe meeting in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Well, as soon as he went in, he was overpowered by a team of Saudi government thugs who had been airlifted into Istanbul the previous day. And as it turns out, according to what the Turkish government says, he was overpowered on the spot and murdered barely having stepped into the consulate. At first, the Saudis denied that he was even dead, denied that anything had happened. Finally, very grudgingly, they admitted about 10 days later, well, yes, he had been killed. The people who'd killed him had been Saudi officials, but they had been a rogue team and they had not got permission from any ruling authority in Saudi Arabia. Well, nobody really believed that. And as a result, Saudi relations with much of the rest of the Western world have been put on ice for the time being. There was a big Saudi economic conference in Saudi Arabia a few weeks ago when basically the Saudis were trying to encourage investment from overseas to build up their economy so it wouldn't be dependent on oil. And that particular conference was basically boycotted by prominent high-tech Western companies. So now the United States Congress is debating whether to impose some kind of punishment on Saudi Arabia, which it assumes must have authorized the murder of Khashoggi at the highest level of the royal family, or it wouldn't have taken place. And so President Trump is put in a very difficult position because he regards the relationship with Saudi Arabia as very important, both economically and diplomatically, and he doesn't want to break the relationship over dissatisfaction with their role, if there were any, in the Khashoggi killing.
Well, and I think what I underestimated, David, when these headlines first started emerging is I thought, yes, this is an awful abuse of human rights, and certainly there should be some kind of penalization of Saudi Arabia relative to what they did. But what I didn't understand, and what doesn't really make the headlines here in the United States, is the implications for what is the war going on in Yemen and the United States' support of Saudi Arabia of that war. And that's really what's at stake here relative to the situation.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, of course, both in the United States and in Europe, the killing that is going on as a result, killing of civilians as a result of the war being waged in Yemen between Houthi rebels who took over Yemen and who then started attacking Saudi Arabia and sending missiles into Saudi Arabia and were firmly supported by Iran. And the Saudis started a bombing campaign. They introduced heavy infantry equipment, tanks, and so forth in an all-out effort to rid Yemen of these rebels. And they have not succeeded yet. And there has been really a dreadful suffering imposed on innocent Yemeni civilians. That this is a major cause of political discontent with the governments, both in the United States and in the UK and other European countries.
Well, it's there's so many different complex dimensions when we come to the Middle East, so many overlapping relationships in terms of what's important. And one of those places is in Syria, obviously, where we see ISIS, we see the Kurds, we see the president of Syria being supported by Russia, and yet we don't want to support people that aren't in favor of the United States. That's a very, very complex situation in Syria. Why don't you give us some updates from 2018, what happened there as well?
Well, in 2018, what really emerged was that the Russian military, which had propped up Assad and enabled him to take more and more control over the country, which had been in a civil war since basically about 2011, the Russian military became very close to the border with Israel. And eventually they got into conflict with the Israeli government, and the Israelis actually shot down were instrumental in attacking Iranian aircraft that had landed in Syria. And as a result, the Syrian air defense shot down by mistake a Russian aircraft, thinking that they were shooting at an Israeli aircraft. And that raised the level of confrontation between Russia and Israel to very dangerous levels. So there's still a ceasefire between Israel and Russia, essentially, but there's a new development in that, under cover of the tensions between Israel and Syria, the Islamist party in Lebanon called Hezbollah, which basically has held major control over events in Lebanon, they are absolutely intent on destroying and damaging the state of Israel. They have started building underground tunnels to try and penetrate the border between Lebanon and Israel and insert actual battalions of troops into Israeli territory through tunnels. The Israelis are mounting a current operation to discover these tunnels and to blow them up, but there is a strong misgiving that that might lead to a new all-out conflict between Hezbollah in Lebanon and the Israeli Defense Forces, the consequences of which would not be good for the people of Lebanon.
Well, there's certainly no end to the situations coming out of the Middle East, and I'm sure as you and I chat about things into 2019, hard to know what to anticipate, but I bet it'll be a lot more of the same kind of thing. We're talking with Dr. David Aikman this morning, reviewing the events on our New Year's Eve broadcast from 2018, and we'll take a break. Come back for our final segment, David. I would love to review with you some of the trends of secularization that have been happening in 2018, including the loss of credibility that the church, both the Catholic and the Protestant church, seem to be having worldwide. So more to come with Dr. David Aikman next on our New Year's Eve telecast here for Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings as part of our New Year's Eve broadcast. We're joined, if you've been listening, you know, this past hour by Dr. David Aikman, and he joins us every Monday on Faith Radio Mornings to talk about so many of the global headlines from a Christian perspective. David is editor of the website GodspeedMag.com, which is a great news source for those of you that are looking for trusted, credible Christian news. And David, our last topic of the morning here in terms of the review of what's happened in 2018 would be some of the secularization of our world. And, of course, in your neck of the woods in Ireland, that some of the events that happened this past year are representative of what we're seeing around the globe. And that includes a lot of conversation about abortion and gay marriage. So remind our listeners about what's happened in Ireland this past year, because it does have implications for all the rest of us.
Well, actually, there have been two events in the last 2 years. The first one was a couple of years ago, when the Irish people voted in a referendum to approve a change in the constitution that enabled marriage to take place between two people of the same sex. And the more recent referendum was on whether parts of the Irish constitution that prohibited abortion should be changed. And that particular vote also went in favor of the secularists calling for an end to the ban on abortion. I think we can say that Ireland has changed almost beyond recognition, as many Irish admit, over the last 30 years. The overall influx of secularization from having joined the European Community and then the EU as it became, sort of cosmopolitanization, which I think is basically a good thing, has changed Ireland from being a staunchly church-going Roman Catholic country, but to a country that is deeply disillusioned by the moral failures of many Catholic priests who have been accused and actually convicted in some cases of pedophilia, and the apparent willingness of the church in many cases to overlook these crimes. So there's been a deep disillusion with the Catholic hierarchy on the part of ordinary Catholics, and the church-going community among Catholics is far reduced from what it was, say, 30 years ago. And the secularization has taken place at all levels of society, not just the church, but certainly involving the church. And so there is not much of a spiritual leadership really visible in Ireland in the sense of a reforming, expanding evangelistic Christian community. That has not yet appeared. And Ireland, I think, is in a very vulnerable position because of it.
Well, and of course, Ireland is somewhat of a microcosm of what we're seeing around the world relative to the church and the credibility and authority and leadership. And David, that was certainly one of the big themes of 2018, was the loss of credibility in the Catholic and the Protestant church, both because of accusations of sexual abuse and the treatment of women in general. There was just so many headlines about this, and it's pretty tough to have credibility when these things are going on behind the scenes.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I don't know whether the Roman Catholic Church will ever be able to recover its authority amongst its own believers and amongst people at large without a significant change in the leadership at the top. And, of course, what happened in China was significant. The Vatican agreed with the Chinese government that the Chinese government could have veto authority on any of the Vatican's approval of bishops in the Catholic Church. And so the Chinese Catholic Church has been appointing its own Catholic priests and bishops without any regard to what the people in Rome say. And this is a major defeat for the authority internationally and ecclesiastically of the Catholic hierarchy in Rome. I think many Chinese Catholics, as well as Protestants, are dismayed by the extent to which the Vatican surrendered to the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, and I think as you and I anticipate 2019, I think we're going to continue to see this as top of the mind news, as what you referenced. Can the Catholic Church recover? Can the Protestant Church recover in any form of credibility? Will things need to change and shift relative to all of this? But more than anything, Dr. Aikman, we certainly appreciate your voice of wisdom, your voice of insight, as you've joined us every Monday for the most part in this past year, and really looking forward to time again together in 2019 as we continue to walk this out.
Thank you very much, Peter. I've enjoyed it.
And again, if you're listening this morning, the website is godspeedmag.com. It's a place where David Aikman is one of the editors of the website and the news. Lots of trusted journalists and articles will come out of that website, and highly recommend you as listeners going to godspeedmag.com if you want to read all of what David and his colleagues are up to as they cover world events. And so that wraps up this first hour of our show relative to this year-end review on New Year's Eve. We certainly appreciate Dr. Aikman taking the time to join us, and more to come here on Faith Radio Mornings as part of our New Year's Eve broadcast and year-end review. Well, again, incredibly grateful for Dr. David Aikman for the entire year here at Faith Radio Mornings, being such a reliable, incredible guest every Monday morning. He usually joins us at the 7:40 Central Time segment to talk about so many of these events from a global perspective. I know he'll continue to join us in 2019. So as you're listening, it's a great time to tune in if you're looking for that credible and trusted voice on some of these topics that matter around the world. Again, I don't know anybody better than Dr. Aikman, who as a believer has covered the news from so many different perspectives along these lines. Well, I see that in hour two, as part of our New Year's Eve broadcast here for Faith Radio Mornings, we are going to be joined by regular contributor Ben Johnson of the Acton Institute, that has faithfully come on every Thursday morning with me to talk about news items specific to the United States of America. And boy, Ben and I had a lot of possible topics to talk about when it came to looking back at 2018. There were so many events in politics, so many events from a special interest human standpoint, ethics standpoint, all kinds of conversations. And Ben has a relatively unique ability to comment on the spot about just about anything I would throw at him. So looking forward to hour two coming up next on Faith Radio Mornings with Ben Johnson.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.